Turn in your Bibles to Jude. We'll look at verse 8 this evening. Please begin reading there. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. I want to preach tonight on the attitudes and the ways of apostates. Jude compares the attitudes of the apostate false teachers with the unbelieving Israelites, the fallen angels, and the inhabitants of the cities of the plain, the homosexuals, by using that word in verse 8, likewise. He first calls them filthy dreamers, implying that their minds were filled with licentious, corrupt, and immoral thoughts. You know, when you get right down to it, a lot of wicked behavior begins with your mind before it ever works itself out in your actions. Their dreams, as well as their pernicious heresies, came from understandings that were darkened and hearts that were alienated from the life of God. That's why they were called filthy dreamers. Now, even though the facts of history prove that God judges all sin that strikes at His authority, that rebels against Him, these filthy dreamers described in our text persist in their rebellion against God. They knew the cities of the plain had been destroyed for going after strange flesh. But the apostate teachers were bent on defiling their flesh with sexual immorality of all forms. Peter, in a parallel passage, describes these apostates by saying, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, deceiving people, with an heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. 2 Peter 2:14. You know, you look at the religious world today, and within the past 10 years, many prominent false teachers have been caught. They've been exposed for their immorality. Yet multitudes of people are still under the sway of their doctrines, while they openly attempt to justify their sin. How deplorable the state of professing Christendom, where there is so little spiritual discernment to be able to identify falsehood. And you know what? It's getting worse. Look at the immorality of our nation and how people are justifying it at every level. And yet how different are the attitudes and the actions of apostate teachers from the high calling of God's saints. The Bible says, now, in contrast here, these apostates, these rebels, these filthy dreamers who are going after strange flesh are completely contrary to what the Bible says about God's children. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 2 through 7. Paul said, "For you know the commandments we gave unto you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, all forms of sexual uncleanness, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." What a different description. The apostate teachers also despise dominion, meaning that they hated the authority and the rule of God as set forth in His holy Word. You know what's sad? That's the prevailing attitude in American society in our day. Despising dominion. People have got this idea that freedom consists in doing whatever you want, regardless of the moral implications. In the 60s, it was the idea, if it feels good, do it. And that attitude has carried over into our present day, and society in general has been permeated with a me-first, rebellious attitude toward authority. The result has been anarchy, confusion, chaos. Whenever you fail to follow God's order, you can be sure that destruction, in some measure, will be the result. You know, I think we have apostate teachers in our world who are not necessarily professing Christians. But we definitely have a religious system called secular humanism. It's not the religion of God, but secular humanism has infected every phase of our society, and it strikes at the very foundation of the home, which is the most basic institution. And because the home has been attacked, because this idea of despising dominion, despising God's order, has infected every area of our society, and especially our home, the home in general, what we like to call the traditional family, is really near the brink of extinction. Do you remember when Dan Quayle? By the way, I always thought Dan Quayle, I'm not big into politics, but I always thought he got a raw deal. You know, he was a guy that at least would speak on his convictions. He did speak on family values, and he said that it's not the best way, and it's certainly not the ideal way to have single-parent homes. And man, people all over the country jumped on him like a bird on a June bug. But the fact is, it's not the ideal way. It's not the best way. Now, some people that's the way that it is for them. But I really believe that if our country is going to be reclaimed, We need stronger homes. We need men who are going to take care of their families and provide for their needs and give a right example for their family to follow. We need wives who are submissive to the truth of God's Word and children who are obedient. And there has to be that order in the home. Without it, there'll be chaos on every hand. That's why we've got a nation that, for the most part, people that are growing up despising dominion. I read the paper today, and I guess this gothic, satanic type of activity is going on in a lot of high schools where teenagers will dress in all black, paint their fingernails black, and they listen to the groups were Marilyn Manson. And, I mean, I'll tell you, if you are listening to any of that kind of garbage, God help you. Because I'm telling you, that stuff is satanic and devilish. But they listen to these groups and they supposedly worship Satanism, and it all boils down to despising authority. It's sad. Despising dominion. Trying to throw off God's rule. I'm going to tell you somebody else who I think are false teachers who have added to the confusion and chaos of America: the National Organization of Women. Now, NOW. I think they have done more harm to our country by deceiving multitudes. Molly Yard, Jane Fonda. Yeah, that's why I hate the Atlanta Braves. I'd never root for the Atlanta Braves if they were the last team to ever play baseball. Because they're owned by stinking Jane Fonda and Ted Turner, both of whom have the spirit of Antichrist. Shame on you if you're rooting for the Braves. Gloria Steinem. The rest of the women's libbers. I consider them to be false teachers, filthy dreamers who despise dominion. Rather than teaching that wives are to be submissive to their own husbands, they teach rebellion. Rather than teaching fulfillment in the domestic circle, they're saying that the only way you can reach real fulfillment is just do what you want. Contrary. That's despising dominion. Contrary to God's ways. And listen, folks, the fault of our nation rests squarely on men and women who have forsaken God's order in our country. We need to get back. How simple it is. These apostate teachers are also not afraid to speak evil of dignities. They were not afraid of railing on those in high places or positions of authority. God will destroy all such blasphemers. Psalms 12, verses 2 through 4, they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Despise dominion. Speak evil of dignities. You listen to the media in our day and age, and man, you talk about some filthy dreamers who despise dominion, who defile the flesh, who speak evil of dignities. Very rarely in the electronic media of our day, whether it be in print or otherwise, Do you ever see genuine Christianity and biblical principles ever set in a good light? People like me, who just believe the Bible and try to preach what the Bible says, you know what they would label me as? A right-wing, what do they call it? A right-wing, radical, fanatic. You know? Conservative. Throw out all these different titles. I'm a Bible believer. When I say I'm against homosexuality, that God judges sin, that we ought to get back to the right order in the home, that women ought not to speak in the church. I mean, these are all things right there in the Word of God. Yet people say, well, man, you're too narrow-minded. I just believe the Bible. I'm not a right-wing fanatic. I'm a Christian that believes the Word of God. Yet if you take a stand, the media paints us, they're not afraid to speak evil of God's saints. They're not afraid to paint us in a bad light, make us look like a bunch of geekamos. I don't know if that's a word, but... Folks, if people are so bold to speak evil of God's people, we ought to be so bold as to rebuke them and to take our stand for the truth. Now notice, these false teachers who spoke evil of dignities were unlike Michael the archangel, who disputed with Satan over the body of Moses. He said, "The Lord rebuked thee," to Satan, rather than bringing railing accusation against him, there in verse 9. The disputation over the body of Moses between Satan and Michael the archangel is not referred to anywhere else in the Bible. Now some have conjectured that Satan was trying to show others where the body of Moses was so that the Israelites would make a shrine to Moses and commit idolatry. And that's probably a pretty good guess. You know Michael is the only angel in the Bible given the title of the archangel? You ever think about that? You know there's only one other angel named in the Bible. You know who he is? Well, actually there's two. Deuteronomy just said Lucifer, star of the morning, fallen angel. Gabriel. He's the only other good angel given a name in the Bible. You know, Michael, the archangel, is almost always associated with some kind of spiritual warfare and contention. Daniel 10:13 and Revelation 12:7. You have Michael, the archangel, fighting with demons. He also must have some special appointment by God in connection with the resurrection of the bodies of dead saints at the coming of Christ. Because you find Michael, the archangel, mentioned in the resurrection in Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2, and also 1 Thessalonians 4. Michael, the archangel, is there with the Lord. But we do well to follow the example of Michael, the archangel, when we deal with blasphemers who are not afraid to speak evil of dignity. Even though Michael was powerful and one of God's highest orders of created beings, you know what he said? "The Lord rebuked thee," rather than rail and dispute with Satan. Let me tell you something, folks. Satan is nobody to trifle with. We can only overcome him and his temptations through the power of the Lord and by his grace. He is the second most powerful being in all of the world. God is more powerful, but Satan has a lot of power. You know, every once in a while I turn on them stupid charismatic, you know, the Christian TV stations. You ever see those buzzards? And you see these guys going, who was it? Are Paul and Jan still on? They still on there? That lady with a bouffant hairdo. And, you know, she just kind of outlandish. But I'd see her and him going, we're going to punch you in the nose, old devil. We're going to stomp all over you. You know what? That's ridiculous. I can't believe that people don't see through that. It's so fake. It's so phony. Man, I'm talking about spiritual warfare. Better say the Lord rebuked thee. The reason why they speak evil of dignities, because they're void of any spiritual understanding. Notice verse 10, these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. They're irrational when it comes to sin and the Scriptures. They rely on instinct, and like brute beasts, they have not the Spirit of God to lead and direct them. How many people speak against God's sovereignty, the doctrines of grace, the Lord's church, who know absolutely nothing about them? Most religious people in our world only parrot what they hear false teachers saying, without ever investigating the Word of God as to what it has to say about the matter. I'll never forget, I've run into a lot of religious people in my day. And one time I was quoting Romans chapter 8. I've told you this story, I think, before. Trying to prove to this guy eternal security. And I was just quoting Romans 8:28, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And so I gave him my Bible. And I said, now you read this while I quote it to you. You just follow along. And I said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. By the time I got to that second predestinate, that guy said, hey, wait a minute. I said, what? He said, I don't believe that. I said, what do you mean, man? I'm not, all I'm doing is quoting the Bible. There, it's Bible words right there. And he said, well, I don't believe it the way you're quoting it. You know, that's the way a lot of religious people in our world are. They just hear some religious teacher saying something and they accept it as the truth without ever investigating it, and they hear it so often that it's in their subconscious. They come to the Word with preconceived opinions. That's why I've always, as your pastor, tried to challenge you, you better check what I'm preaching and make sure it's the truth. And make sure it lines up with this book. Because I'm a fallible sinner. You better make sure what I'm preaching is the truth. He said that these false teachers act as brute beasts without shame or fear. They corrupt themselves and those that hear them. Now, verse 11, he tells us about the way of the apostates, and we'll be finished. He pronounces judgment on them. He says, woe unto them. They have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. He says that they followed the path of some of the most infamous and corrupt people in Bible history. Cain, Balaam, Korah. The way of Cain is the way of pride, jealousy, envy, and murder. He despised God's way of salvation and chose to offer the fruits of His own labor. He trusted in the way of works and merits, which are unacceptable to God. Anybody that believes that they can add anything to the finished work of Jesus Christ has gone the way of Cain. If you're not trusting wholly in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you've tried to add even one smidgen, one dust particle of your own works to either save you or keep you saved, you've gone the way of Cain and you'll be judged just like him. There's only one way to approach Jehovah: by faith in an acceptable sacrifice. Like Abel. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Hebrews 11:4. Yet Cain would not repent. His heart was filled with jealousy and enraged over the fact of Abel's acceptance and righteousness before God. Those feelings eventually they came out in murder. Murdered his brother in cold blood. We have a lot of people today who are going the way of Cain, who are teaching a work salvation, despising the teaching of free and sovereign grace. The way of Balaam is the way of covetousness. Balaam is one of the most pitiful characters in all the Bible. He knew God's truth, and in spite of God's implicit instruction, he defied the Almighty. He tried to curse Israel in order to gain material wealth. He used his religious title as a means to his own ends of gaining material wealth. You know that he couldn't curse Israel. God would not allow it. But he was the one that went to Balak and suggested that the Israelites could be overcome by committing whoredoms with the daughters of Moab. You talk about a wicked man. Revelation 2:14 says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication." That's found in Revelation 2:14, but the story is found in Number 25. I like John Gill, what he said. Balaam's error, which he himself was guilty of, was covetousness, or an immoderate love of money, which, as it is the root of all evil, is the bane of religion, the source of heresy, and what the false teachers were greatly addicted to. And where it prevails, it is insatiable and not to be checked and stopped, as in these men, and is a damnable sin and excludes from the kingdom of heaven, as well as is dishonorable to religion. Hence such particular notice is taken of it, lest it be found in a minister of the Word. This character exactly agrees with the followers of Simon Magus. Now folks, we're living in a day and age when you got a lot of so-called preachers who have followed in the steps of Balaam. Don't get me wrong, I think that a pastor is entitled to a nice home, car, nice clothes. But he shouldn't live exalted. You look at some of these religious folks today, these religious teachers and preachers, who are always begging for money, and they have, you know, $10 million homes. They own a fleet of Mercedes-Benz. This black pastor who ran off with his secretary, who was over the Baptist convention, the Black Baptist convention, and I mean, it took almost a year, even after he was caught. His name was Henry Lyons, before he even did anything about it. Come clean. It's wrong in the name of religion to take people's hard-earned money and steal it. Jim Baker did it. Jimmy Swaggart's done it. I think a lot of these radio and TV preachers are doing it. And what are they spending it on? Themselves. And a lot of those shows, I realize I'm really getting down on tonight, but a lot of those shows, to me, it looks like The Tonight Show. Or, you know, something like that, the way they got it set up. And I wonder, would Jesus ever even consider coming on one of those shows? The one who was despised and rejected of men, who was not received by the religious multitudes of his day, the one who walked, who was meek and lowly. Would he be identified with those who have gone the way of Balaam? I don't think so. And then the way of Korah was the way of rebellion against God's appointed authority, brought on by a love for preeminence. He was the one that challenged the authority of Moses and Aaron and presumed to overthrow them. Be careful how you treat God's true preachers and leaders. There's a reason why God raises them up, why He calls them, why He appoints them. And you can learn a lesson from Korah and Dathan about bringing railing accusation against God's anointed. They were judged by God. Well, this entire passage of Jude's epistle has shown us the justice of God, the punishment of all false teachers, these certain men who crept in unawares. And all of these false teachers and their followers will be punished just as Cain and Balaam and Korah were, by the judgment of God. They'll not be spared. They'll have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And as we read passages like this in Jude that talks about God's righteous retribution against the wicked, may God give us grace to be able to have spiritual discernment to detect and depart from false teachers who bear the marks, the attitudes, and the ways of the reprobate, as set forth here in Jude. Follow not a multitude to do evil, no matter how popular it may appear. May God give us grace to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned.